As we look at the atrocities committed by evil rulers, we grieve to think how well-meaning people are deceived by tyrants, helping to carry out crimes against innocent people. Well, today here on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah teaches about the greatest deceiver in history who will galvanize the world under his leadership during the tribulation. Unparalleled deception and false prophets will lead up to the arrival of the Antichrist after the rapture of the church. Here's David to introduce the conclusion of his message.
Well, thank you for joining us today. My friends, I want to tell you something. If you put all of the terrorists of the world history book together, you have not come up with the summation of that man the Bible speaks about, called the Antichrist, who will rule this world in terror during the years to come. The Bible also tells us that as Christians, if we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, we will not be here under his reign, but will be in heaven with the Lord. Well, we need to get into our lesson today. We're finishing up A Time of Trembling from Matthew chapter 24. Let's get started.
On the basis of the 100% accuracy which we have documented for prophecies, we are absolutely confident that those pertaining to the future will also be fulfilled. In fact, the temple must be rebuilt in order for certain other prophesied events to occur. Paul tells us that the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God when he declares to the world that he is God. Obviously, the temple must be in existence for him to be sitting in the temple. John tells us that all the world will worship him, and that all mankind will be required under the pain of death to bow to his image. Nor can there be any doubt that this image will be placed in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. That's what the scripture says. An image of the world dictator, which the entire world must worship, will be displayed in the holiest place in the world, the Temple of Solomon, rebuilt and functioning 1900 years after its destruction. What we have to understand is that this Antichrist, by that time, will be hailed as Messiah by Israel, and as Christ by all the professing Christians who will be there. He will bring together the world's religions. And I'll explain to you why I think that's going to happen in a minute, but he will be the one who will be able to break down this incredible tension just long enough to get the covenant made, to get the temple rebuilt. And that temple then, rather than being just a purely Jewish worship center, will become the religious center for all of the world. Could it be that by the time all of this takes place, the temple is reared not just as a worship place for the Jewish people, but as the world religious center, bringing all of the religions together so that the Antichrist and the prophet will have their world domain. Beginning at verse 21 in the 24th chapter, Jesus describes what the world will be like after the covenant is broken, after the abomination of desolation, at the beginning of the great tribulation. There are two major characteristics in these final verses. First of all, it will be a time of great distress. Read with me verses 21 and 22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, some people stumble over the shortening of the days. They say, isn't this 3.5 years? How can the days be shortened? Well, what Jesus means by this is not that he's going to make this period less than 3.5 years. The chronology of this time is very specific. The word that he uses that is translated here by the word shortened means to be cut off or terminated. And he is saying, in essence, that if this period of calamity were to last any longer than 3.5 years, no one would survive the catastrophe. That's the meaning of the phrase. If it weren't for the fact there was a termination point to it, no one would ever survive what happens in the 3.5 years. If you want to know what it's going to be like in that period of time, you read Revelation chapter 6 through 19. Don't do it before you go to bed. It's a frightening period. Well, the judgment described in the book of Revelation show that Christ meant exactly what he said. You know, the various judgments in the book of Revelation are so severe. For instance, the fourth seal, which is recorded in Revelation 6, 7, and 8. The fourth seal is a judgment which kills one-fourth of the earth's population. In Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21, there is another judgment which kills a third of the world's population. Now watch this. These two judgments alone would account for half of the world's population being annihilated. 25% reduces it to 75%, and a third of the remainder would reduce it to 50%. And these are only part of the terrible judgments that are going to take the world. It is one catastrophe after another, leading up to the final world war we know as Armageddon. And this will be a time of great anguish and suffering on this earth. When the Antichrist breaks the covenant at the middle of the tribulation period, all hell's going to break loose. And blood is going to flow. And it's an awful, terrible time of judgment. Thank God we will not be here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We have been saved from the wrath to come. But I believe that many people that you and I know and who are alive today could very well live through that period of time, because I think the Lord could come back at any moment. And that time could be ushered in. It will be a time of great distress. I need not illustrate that anymore. It is also going to be a time of great deception. Notice verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. There have always been false Christs. There have always been false prophets. That's been around forever. But this will be a time of unparalleled deception as the world dictator and the false prophet work their demonic magic. Those who have listened to Jesus flee to the mountains for safety so that they can be freed from all of the pressure. They go and hide. They live as refugees. Many of these refugees will have received Christ through the tribulation preachers. And because of their faith, they will have lost their homes. They will have lost their jobs. They will have lost their possessions. And the satanic false teachers will infiltrate their group and try to entice them to leave their hideouts and fall back into the hands of the Antichrist. And in order to deceive them, the false teachers will report to the group that Jesus has been spotted. He's back. He's in the desert, they will say. He's in the inner rooms. Go back into the buildings. Jesus is back. But Jesus is warning them here. And he is saying to them, beware of all claims about my identity or my whereabouts. Pay attention only to what I am teaching you now, not to anything else you will hear or see in that day. Do not be deceived by the miracles or the signs. No matter how compelling the message, do not believe it. Believe only what I am telling you. Jesus is reminding them that they will not have to wonder about his return to this earth. He says that it will not be something they can miss. Listen to his words in verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You won't have to have anybody tell you he's back. You won't have to anybody tell you he's in the desert. You won't have to anybody tell you he's in the inner rooms. Because when Jesus comes back, you'll see him. This is not the rapture. This is the second coming. And the Bible says every eye shall see him. Like the lightning that flashes across the sky that cannot be missed. The glory of the Lord will illumine the heavens, and brilliant light, just as lightning, will announce that Jesus has come back to the earth. It will not be stretched out over a long period of time. It will not happen in secret. It will be quick and sudden and public and visible and universal and glorious. And the words spoken to the disciples as Jesus ascended into heaven predicted this very event. You remember what the angel said? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven shall so come in the way you have watched him go into heaven. Visible. Can't miss it. Not done in secret. Doesn't have to be reported. Everybody will know. And John the apostle described the event in similar terms in Revelation 1:7. He said this, listen, Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and even those who pierced him. What Jesus is saying in this tribulation passage to the scattered believers is this: until I appear in this unmistakable manner, stay hidden. You will not have any trouble knowing when I am here. It will be just like I said in my word. Now, the final verse of this section is a very cryptic statement, which many think was a common proverb in Palestine. Verse 28 says, "For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together." This is kind of a summary statement of everything we've studied. When a body dies, the vultures come. When there is wickedness and moral corruption, judgment must come. By the end of the great tribulation, the world will be filled with dead corpses and will itself be a dead corpse. And that's what the proverb is all about. This is not a pretty time. I don't like these passages. I only like them because it's like hearing bad news about somebody you don't like. I don't necessarily not like the people who are going through the tribulation period, and I'm not happy about it, but I'm glad it's not happening to me, because I know that I will not be here for that time. As we close our Bibles, I want to talk with you about the key characteristic of this entire section of Matthew 24, because I really believe this is the burden the Lord has put on my heart about this passage, the thing that we need to learn today, because I believe this is a growing characteristic of the day in which we live. And once again, looking down at your Bibles, let me point out this reoccurring theme. Go back with me to verse 4. And at the end of the verse it says, and I've underlined this in my Bible, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Verse 4. Look at verse 5. "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many." Look at verse 11. "And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." And verse 24, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Jesus said in verse 24 that the deception is so deep and so powerful that if it weren't for the fact that God had sealed some people against it, even they would be deceived. It is so awesome. Deception is overwhelming. You wonder why people are being deceived. And most of them come out of churches where the Word of God has at one time been taught. Most of them should know better. Most of them have had the opportunity to study the Word of God and to hear the Word of God, and yet they get caught up in the deception. We have become such a materialistic culture that anybody that offers us anything that sounds better than what we've got, we're willing to bite on it, even if it doesn't fit the pattern of the Scripture. Deception is moving in the world of the people you and I know at such a level. And that's the warning. And yet people say they cannot believe that the whole world would ever be deceived by one man like the Antichrist. I've had people say that to me often when I've taught prophecy. You know, I know the Antichrist thing's in the Bible, Pastor, but I mean, good night. The whole world following one man. We can't even get little districts in our area of California to follow one man. How could the whole world follow one man, be deceived by a man like the Antichrist? Well, let me give you an illustration that will maybe help you believe. In 1941, the year I was born, 6 million of the 8 million Jews who lived in Europe were systematically murdered in a satanic plan of genocide. That is a fact of history. Now, this atrocity was carried out by perhaps the best educated and most culturally advanced civilization the world had ever seen to that date. The German culture was at the very zenith of the educational and cultural advances of its day. Hitler, as wicked as he appears to us now, was viewed by the German people as a god. That's what they were taught, and that's what they were learning, and that's what was being taught to their culture, and that's how they were being deceived by this wicked man. Unless we are pointing our fingers at others, let me tell you that the revered and esteemed Martin Luther declared that the Jews' synagogue should be burned down and their homes destroyed, and that the Jews themselves should be put to the most menial labor, deprived of property, and if need be, driven from the country. That is in the fourth volume of The Story of Civilization, The Life of Greece, Part 3, by Will Durant, Simon & Schuster, 1966. How could that be? How could that have happened? Because deception is powerful. And just when we think it can't happen to us, it happens to us. Any of you ever been conned? I mean, by somebody outside your family. I mean, you know. Oh, I don't want to tell you the times I've been had. Isn't it an awful feeling? It's all over and you think, oh, how could I have been so foolish? Time of great deception. I think we're living in the early stages of it, don't you? I really believe these are the most frightening times for Christian people because of all the stuff that's floating around out there and how easy it is to get sucked into it. Well, let me carry just one level further and we're finished. What is going to be the driving force behind this great deception that Jesus is talking about here? I don't think it's just going to be that this man is going to be charismatic and great and have a great deal of ability to sway the people. I've never thought about this before, but I really believe I've got this figured out now. You don't have to take this as gospel, but I've been thinking about this. I think I've got it figured. I think I know why there's going to be such a great deception. Think back with me through the timeline of what we've studied. The tribulation, this time of great suffering, is triggered by what? The rapture of the church from off the earth. Overnight, this most catastrophic event in the history of the world is going to take place. It is an event that will galvanize the world's people together under the leadership of the Antichrist. Listen, such an event involving the sudden, mysterious disappearance of perhaps 200 million people is beyond your ability and my ability to understand. Just think about it for a moment. If tomorrow you got up and switched on the news and the first thing you heard was people have disappeared from all over the earth. Hundreds of thousands from the United States are missing. Reports upward of the tens of thousands of people missing from areas. Whole colleges disappeared. Christian schools disappeared. And the word spreads, goes out into the airwaves and into the newspapers. It's not difficult to realize what the world's reaction will be. This world will be absolutely terrorized. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, the President's Cabinet, the Congress, the United Nations, every responsible government and business and educational body will be automatically meeting in emergency sessions trying to figure out what to do. They will be stunned. They will be devastated. They will try to understand what happened to the missing millions of people. Where did they go? Who took them? Who's going to be next? They don't know anything about what the Bible teaches. And then a man will emerge and say, I know where they are. I know how we can get to them. I know what the answer to all of this is. But we've got to get together. We've got to come together and formulate our plan. And I think that's how it's going to happen. When the rapture triggers the tribulation and the Antichrist is revealed, that's why it says in the New Testament that this cannot happen. The man of sin cannot be revealed until there's a falling away first, and the rapture comes, then the man of sin is revealed, and the impetus of the rapture will galvanize this world under the leadership of the greatest deceiver, and the world will fall at his feet and do everything that he says.
Well, the Bible tells us we cannot know who this person is, but we can know what he is like. I know a lot of folks who spend a lot of time trying to identify the Antichrist, and we shouldn't spend our time worrying about who this person is, but we do well, as the Scripture teaches us, to learn about him and what his plan and program will be. And we thank you for joining us today as we've had opportunity to teach this material. Tomorrow, the most important and exciting part of the lessons, the second coming of Christ. Don't miss tomorrow's program right here on Turning Point.
The message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David Jeremiah serves as senior pastor. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Signs of the Second Coming, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.